Patrick Dolan, employment lawyer across the way from me. How are you doing, Patrick?
I'm good, despite the weather. It's all good. It's a Saturday.
It is a Saturday, and yeah, we don't have, I think those 80-degree days are done, my
friend. It's okay. There's a lot of good happening on the weekend.
One thing that I found interesting that happened across a few different states during the election on Tuesday was that despite the fact that it was very clear across almost every single county, I think only one county went more blue than it had in 2020, a noticeable right-wing shift in political voting, there were a few states that voted for more liberal policies, like the minimum wage is going up in certain states. It just kind of shows kind of what we were talking about last week, how that in the last 20 years, it's really been a state-driven thing to give workers more rights. And that proved to be the case once again in the election on Tuesday when there were some statewide referendums about should we raise the minimum wage, should we give workers X, Y, or Z, that even in states that went for President Trump by 20-some, 25 points, went for measures that are pro-workers. And I think that that is going to be probably the continued way of growth for employees, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, it's an indication of what we've been talking about, John, which is more and more pro-employee laws at the state level, at the local level, at the city level, even in red states, as you point out. And minimum wage is one example of that. We've had a number of examples in terms of the family and medical leave issues that have really in different states permeated through those processes too. So there's a lot of good stuff for employees throughout the country on the state level.
And just to put a finer point on it, Alaska, which voted for former and soon to be President Trump, 56 to 40, so 16 points. You basically reverse it, voted 56 to 43 to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour in Alaska.
Yeah, that's impressive.
By the year 2027 and requiring paid sick leave, that passed by the inverse amount, 56 to 40. I guess what I'm saying is even though the country had a rightward shift at the top of the ballot, the idea of employees earning more than the federal minimum wage, which is still around $7 an hour, is becoming more popular. I guess what I'm saying is some of these employee rights fights have become more mainstream over the last couple of years.
And they have. And for sure, you know, we see them in California, Illinois, New York. But to your point, those are heavily blue states, right? And so now Alaska is, one of the states raising the minimum wage. So, and it's happening across the country. So I'm not surprised by that. And on some level, it's not particularly inconsistent. But you'll have to dig a little deeper to figure out how that's not inconsistent. I'm not surprised, I guess I would say.
312-981-7200. Give us a call if you have any thoughts about employment law. What are people calling your office about this week? Same thing that they were doing before?
Yeah, we have a lot of compensation issues, a lot of discrimination and harassment issues. And, you know, in a couple of weeks, John, I want to go through the changes in the law effective January 1st. And there are a lot of changes favorable to employees in the state of Illinois and locally. And we'll go through that one by one because there are a number of them. But, you know, people are pretty excited about the fact that under the Illinois Human Rights Act, the time to file is going to be increased from 300 days to 2 years, which is one of the longest.
Wait, say that again.
So the claims you can file for a violation of the Illinois Human Rights Act was 300 days, just like federal law. Okay, federal law, Title VII, discrimination law, stuff like that. But now, effective January 1st, folks will have 2 years to file for violation of the Illinois Human Rights Act, for any kind of discrimination, harassment, retaliation. And if we talked about, there's a lot of protected categories under the Illinois Human Rights Act. So to increase from 300 days to 2 years for your time to be able to file, that's a huge deal because, John, people come to me all the time and say, this is what happened. I didn't want to do anything about it. And, you know, frankly, and I say, you know what? The time is run. But now they have a full 2 years to file that claim. That's a big deal.
And why would someone wait? Maybe they didn't know that a law had been violated or that they were still afraid of some retaliation from a boss that had power over them even after they left that job. I don't know.
Let's talk. Let's talk about retaliation, for example. So if you complained about something in your job, maybe your boss is, you know, you think you're being discriminated against, and then he takes steps to, take you out of meetings, something that harms your job. Maybe you don't get a bonus, et cetera, et cetera. Well, from that date forward, assuming you're not terminated, from that date forward, that's the start of the statute of limitations period, because that's when the harm was done to you. So if you don't, if you're afraid about your job, if you don't take a step within 300 days, which is obviously less than a year, not even really that long, it's like 10 months, to go ahead and file that claim, you are not going to be able to file for retaliation if you're not terminated. Termination is usually the trigger date, but if you're not terminated and you're focused on these other events,
interesting.
People get scared. I mean, they come to me and like, I didn't want to do anything. I was afraid. I had to keep my job.
I didn't think about people that were still employed.
Yes. Happens all the time.
Interesting.
Yep.
773 said they quoted me as saying, went more right wing. How about saying moved more to the right? Yeah, that's what I meant to say. I don't know what words came out of my mouth exactly. I have to say a lot of them live on the radio. And yeah, move to the right.
That's what I heard you saying.
Yeah, I think said it a few different ways. So no, I appreciate that from the 773. Yeah, exactly. Voters approved, approved bans to anti-union captive audience meetings in Alaska. In Oregon, voters passed a measure to protect cannabis workers' rights to unionize. So seemingly every ballot measure that would be considered progressive towards workers passed, including in many, many states that were voting for President Trump by substantial margins.
Yeah,
I just find that interesting.
It is. And you know, the fact of the matter of seeing paid family leave kind of sweeping state by state. I mean, just, you know, protections all over the place now.
We got a question, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Let's go to Kevin on WGN. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Yes, good afternoon. I just came in at the end of the previous break. And Patrick, I just wanted to clarify, if you were terminated from a position in 2023, in October, you only had 300 days to file any claim.
Yeah, that's correct.
Is that correct?
So, yeah, 300 days from the date of termination under federal or state law. So state is the Illinois Human Rights Act that protects people in a whole bunch of different categories, age, race, et cetera. And under the federal statute, Title VII, et cetera, you have 300 days to file with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. But that's going to change. Effective January 1st, you have 2 years to file under the Illinois statute.
Well, Kevin has an interesting timeline then. October 2023, that's already expired. The new law passes, though, and he would, in theory, be covered then. Are they, I mean, if you don't know this off the top of your head, that's fine. Are they retroactively applying it?
That's a good question. I don't think they are. I can look for sure, but I don't think so. I think as of January 1st, if the event happened that harmed you after January 1st, you have 2 years from that date.
Follow up with me on
I will,
that one.
For
okay,
sure.
For sure. Kevin?
Of 2025.
What was that, my friend?
Of 2025.
Right.
After January 1st of 2025.
25, that's correct. That's when the law changes.
But we don't know if Kevin is referring to something that happened in the past. It may still be under that old 300-day level, even though the 2 years may have now extended him into past that time.
Highly unlikely. Almost no employment law statutes are retroactive like that.
773 says, great, more lawsuits. I'm trying to read it, and I think the tone that they are texting this in. Great, more lawsuits. This is why employers leave Illinois. Thoughts?
Well, my thought is that, you know, if they have a claim because an employer did something that violated the law, then they should have time to file that claim. You know, there are a number of claims outside of discrimination, harassment, retaliation that have much longer statute of limitations. It just so happens those have particularly short times to file. So if, you know, something was done illegally to an employee, they should have time to file the claim.
What's more likely, an employer leaves the state of Illinois because of tax implications or because of progressive laws benefiting employees?
You know, I don't know how to answer that. All I know is we have a lot of huge companies in this state, and we have a lot of employees. So I don't see a bunch of companies leaving Illinois.
Just because of regulation.
Yes, because of, quote unquote, progressive employee workplace laws.
Okay.
I just don't see it.
I know later on this year, before the start of the year, we'll kind of go tick by tick through all the new laws.
And there's a lot of them.
There's one you told me in the break that I remember something about. I wanted you to
It was pay transparency. So
okay.
That's a really big deal. So starting in January 1st, companies, of 15 employees or more need to publicly state either in a job posting or internally what the salary range is and the benefit range is for a particular job. So that's very helpful to someone like me, because when people come and say, I think I'm underpaid, but I'm not really sure, because they don't know how, you know, how other people are paid in this particular role. But now what we know is there's a range of pay that if they're paid outside of this, now we know the answer to that question. If you're paid outside the range, then it's a really big issue. So companies have to post pay ranges. That includes salary, any form of compensation.
And these aren't just what they think they should pay. This
no.
is, they have to show
this
what they're
paying. This is for the job, with the job posting, and also third parties, you know, placement agencies, those things online like Indeed or whatever it is, they all have to post the salary pay range and the benefit range for every single job. That's a big deal.
773 texted in.
Okay.
They feel like their employer, who we're not going to say here, is restricting people's hours and spreading it out to more employees to get under the new Chicago mandated hours for PTO. Is that illegal? If so. So they're saying
that's the purpose of it. Probably not.
They're saying that all the workers are getting an hour under the threshold.
Does PTO. Does the company not have a PTO policy and they're relying on the Illinois law?
These are hourly workers.
Okay. Well, you know, that could be a problem, because if they're changing hours to circumvent the law, mm-hmm. then it's certainly possibly a claim.
How do you prove that?
That's very difficult.
You have to take somebody's deposition.
No one's going to tell me that that's why they did it. But man, if you look at a bunch of different employees who all have 1 hour short of the threshold to reach the PTO, and it didn't occur before the law changed.
I was just going to say.
It's a chronological thing. You put
those
pieces together.
This person says that all of our employees used to have twice as many hours. Now we are all 1 to a half hour underneath it each month.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Those are pretty good facts.
If you could, write a letter to this company,
yes.
either to scare them into doing it differently, or if you were to, say, file a lawsuit, could you get deposition means, emails, internal emails from the company to see if they, in fact, had written that we must keep it under these hours?
Yes. So part of that discovery process after you file a lawsuit is every single email, text, voicemail message.
Not even between employees.
100%. Everything internal within the company, any sort of communication inside the company to folks outside the company, if it's not their lawyer, that's all discoverable, John. That's exactly how you do it.
So the one question is this too hard to prove? Maybe not necessarily if they wrote it down somewhere.
No, first of all, you've got a lot of facts pointing in that direction. So if I say, you know what, I bet a deposition is going to reveal that some management level person, an HR person, had some sort of communication about that, something. You know, it's got to exist.
Okay, that's interesting. And I often wonder about that. And is that illegal, though, to do that? To circumvent the law to change people's hours, or is that a company just being like, hey, we're just doing this strategically to keep our costs lower?
It could be illegal. It really depends on a number of factors.
Okay. Before we go, what recourse, if any, does a laid off employee have when their former company doesn't reply to questions regarding the layoff? So this person sent an email to the CFO, the CEO. There's no HR. We see that with companies where they outsource
pretty often.
HR.
Yep.
They want to know about unused PTO. They want to know about 401k distribution. But you don't hear anything back. At what point does that cross the line of being just rude to being illegal, if ever?
The recourse is me, John. That's the recourse.
Writing a letter?
Yes. I send a letter saying, you know, you're entitled. Well, your employee's entitled to know what kind of accrued and used PTO they had at the time of termination. That's very clear under Illinois law. And they have to be paid at the time they leave or the next regular scheduled pay date. So,
and that's the law.
That is the law, yes.
So if they aren't paid by then, they're
in violation of Illinois law.
So the issue of them being rude is now illegal at that point.
That's when it crosses the line. Right. That's when it crosses the line on PTO.
So you could probably send a letter to try and move this along, or at least get an answer. But at a certain point, they have violated the law, and then they're going to get a lot more than a letter.
100%. And I ask all the time about PTO status as part of the separation, and I get that information every single time.
847 wants to know, can you sue a company that's out of business?
You can. You may not get any money for it.
Someone says they have accrued PTO that they never got.
Well, then you're going to have to get in line. But wages, there's definitely some preference in bankruptcy court for wages, unpaid wages, of which PTO is, right? So, sure, you'd have to go through the bankruptcy petition process, though.
Man, that That's
you
not
know
fair.
What? No, it's totally not fair, of course. And,
there's no like PTO you know, insurance no. bank that the everyone pays into no. nationally to no. ensure that.
It's a good idea, John.
Because what Let's if it's someone had like 9 or 10 weeks and their company goes bankrupt? You might get those 9 or 10 weeks, but it could take you years to get that pay.
One thing, though, is under the Illinois Wage Payment and Collection Act, there's personal liability. Folks don't really know that. Or think of that. There's personal liability for people who have made the decision within the company to prevent payment of those wages, including PTO. So that could be a big deal. You could go after, you know, management level folks who, you know, maybe they have some.
Oh, like civilly.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
That might make people feel really good. We got to wrap things up.
Sure.
What number should people be calling you at?
312-332-7800.
And they should call you for any employment measure, right?
Yes, thanks, John.
Wait till Monday.
Good to be here.
312-332-7800, Conti and Dolan. That'll do it for Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, right here on 720 WGN.